but on the page with the word of God. What God is saying, has said, what he's saying now, and what he will continue to say. There's something about when people of God come together on one accord. Things begin to happen. I.e., for example, this past Monday, the fast. Wow. You know, we see the evidence of how prayer and fasting changes things. We see how God has blessed Sister Carolina. Every report that we've got has been a good report. The doctors got it all out. And, I saw her today and she looking just as pretty as she was the last time we saw her. I said, God, that's nobody but you. There's no magic mantras or things we say or do that will determine an exact end that we want. But I tell you what, it sure put me in tune with the master on Monday. I was able to lay some things aside and to just focus in on going unto God. And God hears us, and he answers prayers. Just thank the Lord. God bless all the saints tonight. As we continue in church stuff, and let's not forget to pray, as Camille has already said, and Sister Raquel, pray and I shoot. Now, you know, by you getting up here praying like that, it's not your last time.
Amen.
Yeah, you get ready to teach some of these lessons, too, sister. See, we'll have somebody else cook the meal that night. But we praise God. Thank you, Sister Raquel, for just calling on the name of the Lord for the saints of God. What a blessing it is. And it's just good and pleasant for saints of God to come together in unity. You know, so as we talk about church stuff, I think this is very appropriate, this lesson tonight, the support of the church. And we wouldn't even be talking about this if we hadn't talked about, you know, the purpose of the church. And not so much that we talked about it, but we need to know as saints of God what the purpose of the church is. And we covered that on last week. And then what was a real blessing is Elder Jones on this past Sunday in Power Hour, the International Sunday School lesson was out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it talked about giving. And what a segue into tonight's lesson. So what we want to do, we want to kind of see what God is saying to the church as it relates to giving. Let's talk about the law. Let's talk about grace. Let's talk about the word of God and see what God has to say for us. And I thank God that we're free in Christ Jesus. Anybody free in Christ Jesus tonight?
Amen.
And as Psalm 107:2 say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So that tells me we need to say it sometime.
Amen.
We need to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dark and dying world. You've been set free? Somebody need to know it. Because all of us can reach someone that somebody else can't reach. So I don't want to take and hide it under a basket or under a bushel. I want to let my light shine as we talk about the Lord. So the lesson tonight, I was talking to somebody one time. They talking about how much of a Bible scholar they was, and say, "Oh yeah, over in Malachi." I say, "Malachi? That's Malachi." So tonight we're not going to be dealing in Malachi. We're going to look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, and also 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7, and Acts 4, 32 through 35. So we want to talk about the support of the church. This whole series is dealing with the church, things within the body of Christ, within our own particular fellowship here and across this globe. The point says it takes God-given resources to support the church. Is that a yay or a nay? Is that true or is that false? It takes God-given resources to support the church.
Amen.
See, everything we have comes from God.
Amen.
You know, I always say that this is God's church. We are God's people. The people in a fellowship belong to God. It's God's spirit. It's God's anointing. It's all about God. So we as saints of God, we just need to obey God. We just need to do what God say do. And if we do that, we'll be all right. Praise God. So question, let's talk. We see the microphones. Camille has already mentioned the microphones. Tavita sitting at the ham over there in the 747. And so the cordless mics need to be turned on. And what we need is like a class monitor for each row, or a row monitor. So if someone near you is getting ready to answer a question, somebody pass them the microphone.
Exactly.
All right. Can you do that, Pastor Doc?
Yeah.
All right. You have been cutting grass so much that you're tired, are you?
Yeah. That too. But I was saying the same thing last week about microphones.
Yeah. Because it was someone out of state said, it was a nice study, but we couldn't hear what people were saying. I said, okay, well, we're about to do it better. As a matter of fact, one of these days, the Lord may bless, we may have some hanging microphones.
All right.
You know, High and Peter's microphones right over, and then whoever over the switch can know when to hit it and when not. Because we don't want to hear nobody's cell phone ringing, So we can do that. So the question is, have you ever supported a worthy cause? Have anybody in here ever supported a worthy cause? Come on, let me see your hands if you have.
We have.
Okay. So now the question is, why? So, Sister Moran, why? Why did you support a worthy cause? What was the worthy cause, and why did you support it?
Hold up.
Do we got the cordless mics cranked?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
When I say we all have, like the worthy cause of people that have needs,
mm-hmm.
we all have supported by bagging, full distribution.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a worthy cause.
Why do you do it?
Because we're called to do that.
Called to do it? Called by who?
We are called by God.
All right. Praise the Lord.
God put that in us.
Yes, he did. All right. We got to check to make sure the mics work. Who's next? Where? Somebody give Sister Dolores that microphone right behind her there. AB.
Yes, over the years I've supported several causes. One of them is I used to do prison ministry, which I think. Is this on?
Is that one on? That's it. See if the green light is on.
Yeah, the light is on.
Huh? It's got to switch it.
Yes, right. Over the years I have supported several causes, one of them being prison ministry, which I feel was a good cause because the Bible tells us that we are to visit those that are in prison. Mm. Jesus himself said that. And the disciple says, Lord, when were you in prison?
Yes.
And we came to see you. And he said, as you do it to the least of these, you do it also unto me. Amen. So certain things God has called us to do, and that's one of them.
Mm.
I've done others, but I'll just leave it there.
Yes. Praise God. Anyone else like to share? I mean, it could have been United Way or something. What is it that prompts us? So, what are some of the things that we've supported, and why? I think the why part is very important. As we get into this lesson of support of the church, anybody else would like to share?
I will.
Before we get into Malachi,
I'd like to go to the homeless shelter. I think that everyone needs a home, a place to rest, a place to have their possessions. And they deserve a meal. And I just think that the basic human needs should be met,
mm-hmm.
and especially in our nation.
Yes.
So I like to do that.
Amen.
I was attending a church years ago, and there was a mother there with several kids. And so somebody just said, give her some money. So I told her, I said, I'm giving this money, but I don't want you to tell anybody. Because I felt like I wanted my blessing to come from God. I didn't want it from anybody else. I wanted my blessing to come from God. So, and I gave her that money because I was blessed.
Mm.
Because the Lord had blessed me to be able to do that.
Yes. Praise God. Brother Ben?
I support a young man in Thailand who
a young man in Thailand that lost his parents and only had his grandmother. And where he's at is their Christian school that teaching him about Christ and just teach him how to support himself when you get older. As you grow, as you, you know, get older. And also hospital, what is that saying? Hospital?
Yes.
Yeah, because so many families that kids have cancer, parents don't have the money to support them. And the reason why I support it, because I was able, and God gave me plenty of blessings.
Yes.
And I feel like, why not if I'm capable of doing this? You know? It's not in my mind. Like I say, all things come from God.
Yes.
And he said to share the things we have, because he opens with less portion. I'm just doing God's will.
Yes, yes. Praise God. I think Sister Dorothy was waving. Did you wave, Sister Dorothy?
Yeah, I was trying to get
confused. Oh.
Okay. Praise God. You know, it's a blessing. You know, we are, as you said earlier, I know we all have supported a worthy cause at some point or the other. You know, and I think it's a good thing. And it doesn't have to be a huge cause. It can be like someone, it could be a neighbor. It could be a family member. It could be, you know, it could be a number of things. It could be someone in the neighborhood of impoverished children to where someone has donated their time just to help them out and to be a voice, to be an example, a role model. See? And that's a good thing. So here we are talking about the support of the church. We figured out what the purpose of the church is. And anything that's productive, it costs something, you know. But now let me just say this. I am so grateful, you know, that this lesson is not a lesson to say that we need to come up and it's something we need to do or something we're not doing. It's not about that. It's about, this lesson tonight is about what God says about the support of the ministry. It's what God says about giving. That's what it's all about. I have a good friend, and he was my assistant pastor for some time, and he would ask me, he asked me a few times in these last few years, Brother Perry, you got to preach on tithing. I'm like, okay, I'm hearing you, but I say, you know, our church is made up of people that are freely giving from their heart. I say, coming in, going out, I say, all of the, you know, we have resources, the Lord is sending resources into the house of God, ministries are going forth, the lights are on, you know, so I don't need to, you know, in our ministry, we don't need to browbeat anyone concerning giving. Because the saints are giving, you know. And to me, that is a blessing. That is a tremendous blessing. I look at it for me as the pastor of the church. I'm not interested in trying to go to the finance department and ask them who's giving what. We'll see it even in the lesson tonight that giving is a faith walk.
Amen.
It's between a person and their God. See? But now, as it falls on me as a pastor of the church, I'm responsible, I'm accountable for using the resources that comes into the house of the Lord in an appropriate way. It's not my money. You know, it's no one in here's money. The resource, the funds that come in, is blood money, the blood of Jesus, and it's for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. So that's what it's all about. So in our lesson tonight, Malachi 3:10, it reads like this. Peter, would you pull up Malachi chapter 3, and we want to look at verse 1-10. But our lesson tonight says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. Can we be God-given? I mean, no matter how hard you try. Anybody remember that old song? You know, I sure wish I had the melody, but I don't. But you, what? Can be God-given. No matter how hard you try. That's it. That's the melody. The Lord
you give.
The Lord he gives
to you.
Just keep on giving.
Just keep on giving.
Because it's really true. You
can't be God's giving.
Yes.
No matter how you try.
See, that's a truism right there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks for that melody, brother Pastor God. So, you know, I think when we look at Scripture, I think it's always what we should do is look at Scripture in context of what's being said. You know, so oftentimes we're guilty of taking one Scripture and making a whole doctrine out of it. We always need to know the who, the what, the where, the why, the when, as it relates to the Word of God. Who is he talking to? What are we talking about? You know, where was this at? You know, and all of that. When did this take place? So here we have, this is powerful stuff. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek will suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Oh, you know, we won't get all into this, but we see Jesus is coming. We see John the Baptist is going to usher in Jesus Christ. You know, God has always had a purpose and a plan for his people, and God has always, he always has a word for his people. And sometimes the people are rebellious. Sometimes the people are hard-headed, stiff-necked, and God will deal with them accordingly. So here, the last book in the Old Testament, even the messenger of the covenant to whom you delight, behold, he is coming, saith the Lord of hosts. Jesus, it was prophesied that he was coming. Has he came already? Has he came the first time?
Yes.
Did Jesus, is he coming again?
Yes.
Did he die on the cross for the sins of the world?
Yes.
Praise God. So we, do we have a better covenant now than it was in the Old Testament? Yes. All right. So where are we at, Kavita? Let's roll them, brother. Let's go to 4. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former days, former years. And I will come near you for judgment. God said, I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans. God is concerned about people. God is concerned about the underdog.
Amen.
And against those who turn away an alien, those who will turn away those that are in need, but because they do not fear me, saith the Lord of hosts, God is beginning to get his people's attention. He said, for I am the Lord, and I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. God has said, return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. And God knows our heart. He knows what we're saying. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're doing. He said, but God said, but you said, in what way shall we return? They're like, God, you talking to us? We ain't been nowhere. Why we got to return? Right? We're getting up to Malachi 3 and 10. All right? He said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive. So if you look at our lesson tonight, there's a block. And it says, what was the purpose of tithing? Was tithing a part of the law? How can the principles of tithing be applied today? I think this would be a great time to get about 4 groups together. You all don't mind a little activity, do you? Camille, I need you to help me out. Let's get 4 groups of people together. We need John to be in charge of one, right where he's at. So get some folks around Brother John. Come on, sweetheart, so we can see you.
All right, so we have Sister Maria, Mother Dorothy, Mother Doris, and Barbara Spati Bailey John will be one group. We have Sister Nolan, Sister Dolores, all the way to Raquel, and Mike. You all will be a group. So we're kind of there. Dr. Pepper. Get it? Dr. Pepper. You two, Chucky, Tulius, Agosa, and I will join.
You join this group up here.
This group back here. This is four.
Is it sure?
Yeah.
Okay. This is four. All right.
And I'll join Jackie, Karen, Gary, and Deb.
All right. So why don't we get close, get where you can get interactive with each other. We know our points, and let's answer this little metric here. Well, I have a better term. What was the purpose of tithing? What is your understanding of tithing? And where in God's word do you substantiate that? Is tithing a part of the law? What's your understanding?
What was the purpose of tithing? So everybody, you have to get in there anyway. We need one, you have to appoint one spokesperson at the end. So you may put something, you follow it, and here's what we come up with. Okay? All right.
Bring all your tithes into your house.
Each group get a spokesperson.
I turn up this.
Yes, sure.
Okay, so the second part of my words, the first part is
It also reminds people
Okay, one more minute. Let's take one more minute. You working to go? So you working with this group? All right. You working, baby? All right, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, let's see what we got. Let's work with what we got. Let's see what we have here. Does each group have a spokesperson?
Yes.
All right, all right. Let's see. Let's start with Brother Mike over there, your group. I don't know who the spokesperson is, but let's start with your group.
All right. Well, on the first one.
Hold on.
All right. So, for our understanding, which kind of varies, but we said what was the purpose of tithing was to support the church and provide for the needs of the church people, the community.
That's pretty good, but there wasn't a church at that time. We had the nation of Israel. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. And so, okay.
And we put that with God's word. It says for us to give our first fruits to the Lord.
Give
to God first. And as we were saying too, even in the fields, they would leave that outside of the fields for people to be able to use.
All right.
After the people.
Praise God. And what about the second section? Was tithing a part of the law?
We're going to go to group here. Our group here, Karen, has the answer for that group. Question is, was tithing part of the law? No.
That's a no. It's a yes.
Okay, so go ahead and share why we had a discussion on it.
We thought that it wasn't a lot according to the nation or the community. The Ten Commandments doesn't say that it's a law, that you have to tithe in the Ten Commandments.
The example was given that you wouldn't be in jail if you didn't tithe, but you might be shunned.
No, you know, when we talk about the law, we're talking about the Mosaic Law. And the Mosaic Law was more than the Ten Commandments. There were a lot of civil laws and ceremonial laws, law that God has placed in. One of the first places we see in the law concerning tithing is in Leviticus. Remember that Leviticus is the book of the law. And so if we look at Leviticus chapter 27, 30 through 34, and there's so many others we can look at where definitely that was under the law. Now, and again, let me just say this. Are we under the law right now?
No.
Grace.
We're under grace, right? Now, let me say this. The law was just. The law was holy, and the law was good. Could man keep the law?
No.
If you failed in one part of the law, what?
Broken it all.
You failed in all of it. Right. The law was the schoolmaster. The law was to show man how desperately he needed a Savior, how desperately man needed God. Okay? So when we talk about the law, we're talking about the Mosaic Law, and it's more to the law than just the Ten Commandments. Even in the Ten Commandments, God gave commandments of what the people should and should not do. But God gave the law. And we'll find in Scripture also how the Pharisees and Sadducees and all of them, they added their own versions and things to the law, which God never said. See? But in all of our getting, we have to get understanding. And we're going to see tonight, because it's not nullifying. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how, because matter of fact, Camille, why don't we do this? We established that tithe it is, and we can show that through various scriptures. Matter of fact, if you have pencils or someone to write this down, or we'll see in Deuteronomy 18 and 4. Start right in there. We'll read about tithing as it relates to the law. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 through 33 is a good spot, but the whole chapter's in context would be good, because we want to see what the Israelites had to deal with concerning the law of God.
Pastor, if I can.
Yes, please.
The verse that we're talking about, Leviticus 27,
okay,
and 30, it talks about the tithes is the Lord's.
Yes.
So, in all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's.
Mm-hmm.
It is holy unto the Lord. One of the things that I'm sure we remember as we read the word, Abraham paid tithes,
right,
to Melchizedek.
Right.
Okay, now this was before the law.
This was before the law. Okay. Jesus was able.
Now, since this was before the law, he gave the tenth. Nobody, there was nothing that said that he should be able to give Melchizedek a tenth, which is the Christ-like figure. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying here is the same thing when you look at grace. You know, most people say, well, in the Old Testament, and now that we're under grace. I had a verse that I came up with when I was ministering about the tithes, and I said that it is a disgrace to grace that Christians should give less under grace than Jews did under the law.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, Christians, I think, should have a higher plane than the law.
Mm-hmm.
There's another example about marriage was before the law as well. We don't want to get into that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. See, we're talking about the subject is the support of the church, right? And And watch this. Sometimes we can operate in a fashion that's really not what we're. See, God. Anytime God does something, He takes it to another level. Okay. In the law, if we're saying that 10% is God's, we're saying that 90% is ours. Right. But if we're truthful about it, all 100% is God's. God has called us to be good stewards over what He allows us to have. You see. And so I want to make this distinction between the law and grace, because we got more scriptures here to look at. And so the law, tithing was a part of the law. We read Malachi and we stand on that. Let's look at this next section. It's a point I want to make. It said, how can the principles of tithing be applied today? That's a question for the church. Can the principles of tithing be applied today?
Oh, absolutely. And kind of as you were working up to, I certainly look at it as dealing with the motives of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 Corinthians 9 is certainly going to address that, where I should certainly look at the 10% as a starting point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And realizing that, again, not just the 10%, but the 90%, all of it is God's. And what is my perspective about giving? How much do I value the money that God has blessed me with? And how do I want to honor Him with it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that goes a long way. You know, it's often said you can tell a lot about a person by looking at their checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to them. And, I have certainly found that as I've learned how to give, it has changed. Well, it results from a change of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dependence on that money decreases.
Mm-hmm.
My desire to attain things from that. So that's one perspective.
Yeah, yes, that's good. And see, one thing, here's the way I look at it as well. Because, see, It's almost like you're treading water when you begin to talk about finances and when you begin to talk about Malachi 3 and 10. And so there's nothing wrong with tithing. None at all. But I feel that tithing is training wheels. It's like a baby gets a bicycle with two wheels, baby can't ride it. The baby needs some training wheels. You know, and so I look at tithing, it takes us to a place to where, okay, that's a good thing. Hey, Lord, from my heart, I'm giving my tithes. You know? But I do want to let you know you're not obligated to pay tithes under the law because we're under grace. And I know this may be foreign to someone, but it's true. And we're going to see as we get into the rest of this lesson. We need to, because how do we pick and choose what part of the law that we adhere to? Do we have animal sacrifices? You know, are we held to a dietary law right now? You know, so there's things in the law that where, you know, we can't pick and choose. But don't get me wrong, Pastor, not saying don't ever pay your tithes. And let me put it to you this way as well. Because if someone take that and say, wow, if someone feel as this is a law that I got to do it regardless of whatever, and now the preacher's telling me, hey, that was Old Testament. That was the law. So, hey, I'm free. Shoes, I don't have to give nothing. That is not it. That's not it. God is showing us a better way. How would you only able to know? When asked the question, how can the principles of tithing be applied today? I like your answer, brother. You know, I talk about it's great for training wheels, but guess what? What did Jesus say in Matthew 5:17? We talked about the Beatitudes earlier. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus come to destroy the law? He came to fulfill the law. So He's not nullifying the law. He's giving us a better covenant. God is always looking for better from us. Okay? So Jesus said, let me put it up.
It's right here.
Okay. Jesus said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. So I'm not saying that, hey, it's wrong to pay tithes. get me clear on this. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is there's not a law. And where Malachi said you'll be cursed with a curse. And God was talking to a disobedient Israel about their idolatry and everything else. And he was calling them on the carpet. And they were like, God, well, when did we do that? God said, you robbed me in tithes and all. There was a tithe that would go for the benefit of the Levites and the priests. There were tithes that would go for the orphans and those that were in need. So it wasn't just paying tithes 1/10%. It was probably more like 30% that people would give of the goods that they had. See? So I think, and please interact with me here, because it seems like I'm kind of
I'll jump out there. In another area in the New Testament, Jesus was addressing the scribes and Pharisees, and they were tithing of mint, rue, and olives. So they were doing it to the smallest thing, but their hearts were corrupt.
Right.
So he was challenging them to, again, to really think about the big picture and to examine their hearts about what was really important to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, along the same lines, kind of what you were alluding to, I can give my tithes as a duty.
Right.
And I can feel like, okay, I did my duty, God. Now, where's my stuff coming back?
Yeah. Where's my 36 to 100?
Right. Right. And then I can also, I can do that, and I can be nasty. I can be angry. I can be arrogant. But I'm thinking, well, I've done my tithes, so I've done my duty. But certainly Jesus is looking at more deeper issues of the heart with us.
Mm-hmm.
What motivates us to do whatever we do? Whether it's giving, whether it's our interactions with people, what is my motivation? Is it to look good in front of other people? And Jesus addressed that as well. People were throwing money into the treasury and making a big show of it. Where the lady with the two
mice.
You know, it was a small amount, but she gave with the proper perspective.
Yeah, she gave her all that she had. And this is what's important. This is very important to understand. Nothing that we can do, no things that we can do that put us in right standing with God. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. So good works and deeds and things that we as saints do is a result of the salvation that we got in Christ Jesus. Brother Ghost?
You can't earn your salvation by doing this.
Right, exactly.
And if you're doing it, then you're in deep trouble, spiritual trouble.
Right. See, I want to take us to a higher level tonight, to where, you know, if I got 10 million sheep, you know, and I give 10%, and that, you know, if Brother Chuck, you're talking about the heart. Okay, hey, I'm good. You know, remember the man, the Pharisee who said, I pay my tithes and I fast and I pray and I do all of this. I might even like this fellow over here. But his heart was in the wrong place. So just what we're giving is not indicative of where our heart is at. You know, I had a friend, when he took the scripture that God will pay back some 10, 40, 60, 80, 100 fold, he would be sitting up with his calculator out. If I give this, God is going to give me this. I'm like, brother, now I ain't been saved a long time, but that don't sound right to me. You know, because I believe that any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. But God, I want to do what you call me to do. So let's look further, because I think we need to bring context of what we're trying to communicate here tonight, the support of the church. Let's see how the church was being supported in the early church. Nowhere in the New Testament will we see where tithing was taught to the New Testament church. We won't see that. And again, I am not knocking tithing. But I'm just saying, you have the law and you have grace, and we need to understand that as saints of God in 2018. Sister Jack?
We have so many different ways to give, so many different organizations. I was taking back to God and asking him what he wants me to do.
Now you're getting somewhere now. That's you hit the nail on the head now.
Because you can't, what
Some people can, but I can't. I can't give to everyone. Mm-hmm. And I want to know where God wants me to do it.
There you go.
And this is also. Yeah, in this. That also, what I was thinking earlier, along with what Shaki was saying, and then also what you were saying, other things, this all stems from stewardship.
Yeah.
Stewardship. Mm-hmm. It's very important that the church teach not only just the tithing part of it, but the stewardship of what God gives us covers a lot. Mm-hmm. Tithe is just a small portion.
Oh, yeah. It's a small, and here's I really want the saints to get though. We are not under the law, but have we been called to give? Yes, we have. We're going to see this all. We see it all through Scripture. To give, you know, James talks about it. Paul talks. We'll see. Let's look at some scriptures here. There was a time, you know, Elder Jones, he taught on that this past Sunday. And chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians deal with the church giving. And I think it would be real good. Let's go to Davida, pull up 2 Corinthians chapter 8, especially the first 7 verses. We might need to look at the first 15. And I think it'll bring clarity of what's happening here. See, talk is cheap, but money by land. And sometimes you've got folks that's jumping around and trying to do all kind of stuff. And but where is the love? Where's the giving? Where? Instead of the inreach, where is the outreach? You know, are people being blessed by the people of God? Is the ministry of Jesus Christ going forth? How do we do that? You know, and so let's look at this. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, let's get out of King James. Let's get it to either New King James or let's go to New King James. Let's do that." There you go. Now, I've been programmed in King James my whole life. But here, these latest, but just a few little words, it's kind of, I figured we could take it up a notch. The church in Jerusalem was hurting. The people were poor. The saints were going through. And you know, it's already been said tonight, when we see a need, what do we as saints do? Huh? Do we give?
Yeah.
Do we try to meet the needs?
Yes.
You know? And let me ask you this. Are some of us more able to do certain things than others?
Yes.
But there's a whole lot of ways of giving, and it's more than just money as well.
Right.
So, he said, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia." The churches in Macedonia was Philippi. It was Thessalonica. They were poor. But watch what he said. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. These churches were poor, but they gave from their heart. They were giving to those that were in need. He said, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, employing us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministry of the saints." Paul was collecting the money to take to the Jerusalem church, and these churches, even though they were poor, they were giving from their hearts. Don't God want us to give from our heart?
Right. Yes.
You know, if we limit ourselves to a certain amount, then we're limiting our blessing. So he goes on to say, and not only, thank you, brother. Now read that, brother, if you want to read that.
"And not only as we had the fellowship of the ministry of the saints, but they gave themselves the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete his grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith,
in speech,
and in knowledge,
mm-hmm.
in all diligence, and in your own love for us, see that you would abound in this grace also.
So let your giving line up with all this other stuff that you're doing. You know, let's go down a little bit further, Davina. I think I need to get to the 15th verse. You were jumping in our lesson. I got to make sure all of what that we don't get burnt for time. But hold on, brother. Come on. Where do we stop at? We stop there. Okay. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity. Listen to what Paul is saying. I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Listen, don't listen to the fake teachers. It's not talking about Jesus being rich with gold and silver and driving Mercedes chariots around. We're talking about the Son of God leaving his home in glory, coming to earth to live a perfect life in our place, to die on a old rugged cross and to rise again on the third day, that we might become rich. Guess what? Do you all know that we're rich?
Amen.
Do you know Jesus?
Yes.
You're rich.
Yes.
Does your father own all the cattle?
Yes.
And the hills that the cattle is on?
Yes.
We're rich. See, sometimes folks look at rich just in money. When we get reports like I got before we got here today that my brother-in-law, his heart is failing, and they're thinking maybe a couple of days, and my sister's in turmoil, that's a hard thing. And if we have health, we're rich. We're rich in knowing who Jesus is. We're rich in knowing that we can call upon the name of our Savior. You know, and he said, in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago. They had already desired to give. He said, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, listen to these words. If there is first a willing mind, and we need to be aware of the situations around us. And this is why I say that within a fellowship, and our fellowship in particular, everybody is somebody. Everybody is an integral part of the ministry. It's not a handful of folks that makes up the ministry. Everybody else is watching the show. We are one body in Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I borrow amen?
Amen.
All right, I'll pay y'all back after a while, but that's what my heart is. Everybody is somebody. We all have need. He says, have a readiness to desire, so there also may be a completion of what you have. For there is first a willing mind. It is accepted according to what one has. Listen to this. To what one has, and not according to what one does not have. He said, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. God said, I want y'all give everything you got. You know, and then you heard it. He's not saying that. But by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality as it is written, he who gathered much and nothing left over, and who gathered little had no lack. That's referring back to the manna that God sent to the children of Israel in the desert after they came out of Egypt. God provided everything that every morning, new manna fell. In 2018, and how many, if anybody have witnessed that God has supplied your needs?
Yes.
And he's still supplying your needs? And no doubt we give to the house of the Lord and we're still blessed. God has allowed us to do everything that we do, whether it be in tithes or offering. See, so here in our lesson, and I know I'm kind of over time. This is a lot. This is probably one of those 2 or 3 day teachings. But in 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, and this is something that's on our envelopes in our giving here at the church. Paul said, But this I say, he who sows or who gives sparingly, who gives, you know, a little bit, will also reap a little bit. Do we believe that you reap what you sow?
Yes.
Now God said that. He said, be not deceived in Galatians 6:7. God is not mocked. Whatever man sow, that also shall he reap. And sometimes people, and I won't get way off track, but sometimes people have used that just as a negative. You done done me wrong, and you gonna get it. No, no. If you do what's right, if you sow what's right, if you sow what's just, if you sow what's kind, you're gonna reap that yourself. But here he says in context, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. He says, so let each one, and this is important because Sister Jackie alluded to this. She talked about, don't let me misquote you, but you talk about asking God, seeking God about what to give. He says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly. Nothing worse than begging folks for money. And somebody come and give church the church money because they just want the preacher to shut up. That's not giving. That's not giving from the heart. That is not what God is talking about. He says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. For us to be cheerful, we have to already believe in what he has done for us. Anybody just glad to be saved tonight? Amen. Is anyone glad that you're not who you used to be? Amen. Come on now, you know some of us like me was crazy. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. He's a cheerful giver. You know, sometimes you see on the TV some of these teachers and they got it out there to the whole world, give us some money over here. And some of the folks ain't been more saved than a man in the moon. God is looking for his people to do what he has called us to do. You see, some stuff is not, it's all right if the world give, I'm not saying that. But the word is to those who love Jesus. And that's what's important. So here's the question. What would you say is the purpose of giving in the house of the Lord? Let's get some input, you know. What is the purpose of our giving? Why do we give? Joseph?
We give so we can serve the church, and most of all, so we could serve God through the way we give to others.
All right. Good. Anyone else? Why do you, let me see if your hands, give to the church, give to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's good. That's a good point. Why? Oh, what would you say is the purpose of giving?
For the ministry.
For the ministry, all right.
It just feels good to give.
It just feels good to give.
To be obedient.
Being obedient. All right. Praise God. Mother Anthony.
You give and you will be blessed by God and in other ways.
That's right. All right. Praise God. You remember what James said over in James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brother? Brothers and sisters, too. If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? You see, God has given us a heart after his heart. Have the Holy Spirit ever moved on you to give to someone that was in need? Where normally you say, I'm not doing that. But if you it's impressed on you so hard to where you got to do it. Have you ever been in church? And you might have your checkbook out or your wallet out. And you're ready to give something. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, no, give this amount. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
And it's a blessing, Brother Doc.
Also, along with that, what you just mentioned, Pastor, also I believe God uses that to build up the church, build up the saints, because there is a rule that he's put in place that if you give, it'll be given back to you.
Yeah.
So if you're going to plant a tree, farmers know this more than a lot of us because they trust in the season they plant. And they are expecting a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So when you give to the church, I believe God will multiply that.
Yes, he will. Yeah, Luke 6:38 is our memory, verse 1 and 9. It says, give and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over what God calls men to give unto your bosom. So please, saints, I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. Let me just recap. I'm not saying the tithing is wrong. I am not saying that. I'm saying let's not limit ourselves to 10%. Don't feel as though you're going to be struck down by lightning if you don't give the 10%. You may not be able to give 10%, but if you give what you have from your heart, you give it as unto the Lord. Amen. So don't feel like God has got this big stick and he's going to be whooping down on somebody. It's a faith walk. It's trusting God. So on one hand, I'm saying we're not under the law. But at the same time, I'm not saying tithing is wrong. I'm not saying that. If tithing is where you are, keep on tithing. But as the Holy Spirit leads you to give more, give more. Do what the Holy Spirit. We're living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All I'm saying, church, is don't have to, in the age of grace, don't feel like you have to do something out of duty. We shouldn't even come to church out of duty. We shouldn't have to be primed and pumped to praise the Lord. Come on now. You know how you were in the world at the club. Come on, pray. No, no, no. We praise God from our heart. We care from our heart. We do as unto the Lord because of the Holy Spirit. He puts it up on us to do.
Yes.
Do y'all hear me? Go ahead.
I know that a lot of people can't afford the 10% type that, you know, is common knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have the ability to serve the church in different ways.
Yes.
For their neighbors, their co-workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can also serve that way.
Yes, yes. Someone else?
Giving provides a wonderful opportunity to examine our hearts.
Yeah.
One way or the other. Because, you know, I can approach a giving opportunity and I may have the money,
mm-hmm.
and my thought may be, I don't want to give.
Right.
Because I have something else I want to do with this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, conversely, it's like, you know what, I feel led to give more.
Yes.
So it provides a wonderful way to examine. And the cases where I don't have it, I may want to give more.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful flashlight.
Yes.
Into the, you know, to where our heart is.
Yeah, it's so true. So very true. I mean, you look at a small church like ours, right? Have anybody here been lamb blasted about giving?
Never.
Have we taken up one offering, two or three or four offering past the pan?
Never.
But we're feeding the hungry once a month. It was 48 families that came here, actually more, maybe 50 plus, on yesterday from a small ministry. The park ministry, cooking hot dogs and taking clothing and waters and, you know, who's provided it? God is provided through his people. And so none of us have limited ourselves and said, well, we only go give 10% or what, you know. So again, I don't get into the minutia of who's giving what. I need to make sure that I'm giving as like the Lord give me to give. I got to count for Kermit. I can't count. It's not my job to count with someone else. But I need to be led by the Spirit of God and do what he says to do. When we go out there to the homeless shelter, the family shelter, we're not just taking food and clothing out there. We're going out there with food and clothing that God has provided, but praying and interacting and praying that God, these children, their minds, their hearts going to be seared from this terrible time that they're in. This shoe ministry that's coming up, which we have a meeting this coming Sunday to give away 600 pair of shoes. And we're able to do our part from 3 P's. Why? Because the people are working together as unto the Lord. You see. So let me read this last part. I know we're way over time. Let me read Acts 4:32-35 to help put this in context. It jumps into the early church. Now the multitude of those who believed. Do we believe tonight?
Amen.
And what do we believe? That Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart. Listen to this quote. And one soul. It's important for the saints of God to be together on one accord. He says, neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. In 2018, we're seeing the needs, whether it's in the house or outside of the house, we're seeing the needs. And with great power, watch this, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing today. We're witnessing for Jesus Christ. And great grace, watch this, great grace fell upon them all. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, grace is mentioned 10 times. The law is not mentioned, the tithe is not mentioned, but giving is mentioned. And it's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as they had need. So we're in a different dispensation, but the principle is there. The principle is there. So the question is, are the principles in this text, do they apply today? And I would say, yes, they do. Yes, and we're seeing it play out right in front of us. Okay. This is good. Any questions? I feel like someone may have a question or a point you want to have before we close out tonight. Do anyone have any questions as what I'm saying as it relates to tithing? Because I really want to be clear. I'm not saying the tithing is, I want to repeat myself. I'm not saying the tithing is wrong. I'm saying the tithing is a good stepping stone. I'm saying that we're not under the law. You're not obligated to say 10 and that's it. The New Testament is talking about freedom in Christ and freedom to give. Okay? We good? Praise God.
The only thought that I had is out of that, the song, all that I have needed, thine hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness towards, yes. O Lord, towards me. You know, he's just faithful. Mm-hmm. And when you really understand everything that we need is in him, mm-hmm. You're complete. Mm-hmm. You're complete in him.
Complete in him. All of my needs are met in Christ Jesus. And this is just something to take home. You'll see the subject matter when you get it. Even on our envelopes here, it says tithe and offering. That's fine. But don't be in bondage. Don't feel as though you're under the law. You're not. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Oh. Praise God. Well, on that note, when you get a chance to take and read this through, a Christian's required to pay tithes. I think this is a good insight here. So let's go from there. And we continue on in this study of church stuff. Next week, we're going to talk about church ordinances and practical things within the house of God. But any of these lessons that we have, if you have any questions, feel free to come to me. Shoot me a text. Come into the office. We'll talk about it. All right. I want to make sure that you're clear. Praise God. So, Sister Dolores, would you come and have last words? You got something. 1 second, Sister Dolores. Oh, yeah, this is the survey. Go ahead.
All right. So, as you all know, in this 6-week series, which will possibly, Pastor will let us know if we extend it past 6 weeks, but of course, we'll have a movie night because everybody loves a movie night. But what the very last course or lesson is spiritual gifts. How many of you are familiar with spiritual gifts? I know, it's like, oh my God, am I getting rubies and diamonds? A little bit different. Gifts that God has given you, whether it's administration, whether it's teaching, whether it's evangelism, however that spiritual gift that God has given you. So here's a quick survey. I know, this packet looks huge. How does she say quick? I said it. That's how I said it, yeah. So here's the great thing about it. It's paper clipped. All right, old school. It's paper clipped. If you would like to complete this between now and the week six, so we're in week two, you have 4 solid weeks, okay? Now, what happens if I lose the packet, Camille? No worries. I will be sending the link out on the newsletter. What if I don't get the newsletter? I don't know what's going on there, okay? Let's talk about it. But I, if you don't get the newsletter, I will get your, give me your email. You can go online to register, but you'll have other opportunities to complete it. What we would like for you to do, whether you do it through the packet or electronically, make sure you print your results and bring it to week six so we can share and discuss. Is that good?
Amen.
All right, so Sister Dolores is going to come up. After service, I'm going to be right around the door so no one can leave and say, I didn't get one. But I'm going to make sure you get one. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Would you guys stand with me and bow your heads?
Pulpit.
Hey, David.
He got it. Okay. Can we bow our heads and pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for this lesson, Father God. We pray that by your Holy Spirit you would minister to our hearts and our minds regarding giving, Father God. Let us all give with a cheerful heart, Father God. As Pastor said, we're not under the law, Father God, but we're under grace, Father God. And so move us by your Holy Spirit, Father God, that we would realize and understand, as Pastor said, that it all belongs to you. And you provide for us so well, Father. We just thank you for all your provisions. I thank you, Father God, for everyone that's here tonight. I pray that you would bless their homes, each home that they represent, Father God. I pray that you would bless them, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you would bless the food that's been prepared, the snack, Father God, the hands that prepared it, Lord. We just pray and bless it, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father God, we lift up the Joneses to you, Father God, as they go on their vacation, Father God. We pray that you give them traveling mercy and grace, that you would give them a wonderful experience, Father God, and we just pray for them to have a good vacation, Father God. Lord, we just ask you to bless them, Father. Be with them, Lord. Father God, we just thank you for all your many blessings. We bless you, Father God, and we ask you to be with us, Father God. Lead, guide, and direct our paths in Jesus Christ's holy name. To you be the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.